Pushkin.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Hi, I'm Phil Donahue.
And I'm Marlo Thomas. And we're going on a series of double dates to find out
what makes a marriage last. On paper, the marriage of George Stephanopoulos and Allie Wentworth would not have been a sure thing.
He's a serious, straight-laced news anchor. And here she is, this lively and mischievous comedian and author who will go to any length to get a laugh out of you.
But the secret is, George is the Abbott to Allie's Costello.
And she's the Lucy to his Ricky. So when we got a chance to visit with them in their stylish and homey apartment on Manhattan's East Side, we knew it was going to be fun and revealing.
We settled into their living room to chat. And Marlo asked Allie to tell us how it all began 20 years ago.
I was talking to another single woman, and I had just had a torrid love affair with this British actor, and I was ready to be serious. And she said, oh, me too. And I said, I'm going to introduce you to my brother. And she said, I can introduce you to my old friend, George Stephanopoulos. And I said, no, thank you very much. I'm from Washington, D.C. I grew up around journalists. That's the last thing I want. You know,
were your parents journalists?
Yeah. And in the White House, I wanted Matthew Perry or Hugh Grant. You know, I just was like, oh, I don't want that. And so a few weeks later, I was coming to New York and I thought, you know what? I'm going to call him. It'll be a great dinner party story. My date with George Stephanopoulos. I mean, it practically writes itself. So I thought we'll have an interesting conversation and that'll be that. And I couldn't believe when I left lunch that day on an April day.
April 4th.
Aww.
That I said, I'm attracted to him. I'm attracted to that guy.
It's not that.
but the difference is, honey, it wasn't a blind date. I knew who you were. I knew exactly who you were. You were not my type. I wasn't your type.
That's so interesting to me. Everybody always says, including us, I knew. You know, we knew.
I knew.
He interviewed me on his show, and we were lovers the next day. So that's that.
Wow.
Yes, we were very quickly into that.
Wow.
So, yes.
Oh, Mr. Donahue.
But we knew, and that was it.
And I'll tell you, you know how you know? Every other man that I had dated or had a relationship with, I was so concerned with sort of performing who I was, you know, and I just didn't feel I had to do it with them, you know? So the first time I did go home with you, there wasn't a, like, how's my breath, or, oh, God, my cellulite, or, oh, I didn't care at all. And that's when I really knew that I wasn't pretending to be this.
You weren't auditioning.
No. I had gotten the part.
What about you, George?
It wasn't even, I mean, it was immediate. You know, as close to immediate as can possibly be. I mean, we went out 2 or 3 days in a row.
And what can you?
You had dated the Isle of Manhattan.
Well,
too,
I mean, it's not. And it's some based on some crazy idea of perfection. Because you're right, I was 40. I dated a fair amount, but I knew this was someone who I could decide to be with, you know, forever and be happy. And it's just like it's a leap. It's partly faith, partly intuition, attraction, but it's nothing I've ever questioned. From like within hours.
We were engaged 2 months later, and I was like, what is taking so long? And I had been engaged before.
Really? Yeah.
Boxer rings, if you know what I mean.
It was never even close to not happening.
Never. I think age is also a factor in marriage. I just do. All my friends that got married in their early 20s are not married now.
Right.
You're just not the same person.
Right.
Not all of them. One of the things we had to learn was how to accommodate, respect, and change with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're similar in a lot of ways, but there's the kind of, I am definitely an introvert, despite my job. And being out socially and all that is hard, it drains
feels
me.
Like that, feels
yeah,
very shy.
Completely drains me. She gets energy from being with
me
people,
too.
Yeah, and it took us.
We should have gotten married.
Yeah, I know.
No, it's one of the
we
things.
We would have been the life of the party.
You know, for me, that's been great because it's opened up a different side of myself. I think you've probably also gotten more in touch with your introverted side over time.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, our kids have mixes of both.
I'll give you an example. When we were first married, we would argue because we would go to an event, a party. It would take me an hour to get out the door because I'd talk and say goodbye. And George would be sweating, you know, by the front door.
Right.
He had the gotta goes. And now, not only do I completely understand that, I even know when he looks at me, like, we're out the door. No discussion. I don't even say goodbye.
Then we've also learned you don't have to do everything together. Like, if I don't want to go to something, it's not a reflection on you.
No.
Yeah, that's a big thing. We've had to come to that. Because Phil doesn't want to go to every fundraiser for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, which I do 9,000 a year.
Right.
And at first I'd say, you have to come. And then after a while I thought, why does he have to?
Why?
Really, why must he go? I have to get up.
I've started to realize that when I married Marlo, I married a hospital. somewhere during the reception of our wedding, Danny stood up, my new father-in-law stood up at our wedding and said, I haven't lost a daughter, I've gained a fundraiser.
And he did.
And he had been on the show a couple of times.
Yeah.
We got along very well. And I got along very well with her mother, an Italian.
Who didn't like Irish people.
Well,
that's another interesting thing about marriage, too, is that, you know, if he had married a Greek Orthodox, that would have been the jackpot. I just slid in under the door, but I had to charm them. But there's.
What are you? Do you have a faith of your own?
I'm a pure wasp.
Uh-huh.
Mother's name is Muffy, Mayflower wasp.
But also, we're also lucky in that way. We've never had in-law issues,
uh-huh.
except for one fight over the wedding.
What was the fight?
Well, his mother is a very strong-minded Greek woman. My mother was social secretary of the Reagan White House.
Oh, dear.
And she's 6 feet tall. So when we decided to get married, it was very clear that these two women were going to dominate the planning. And we said, have fun. Our feeling was we wanted to marry each other. We're not going to get upset. I was not a girl who had a vision board about what my wedding was going to look like. So I said, fine. And it was a dogfight between those two.
So, but how do you two fight?
We fight, but...
How do you?
Constructively.
We didn't used to. I had a tendency to be a meaner fighter.
But you're definitely a meaner fighter. but that's, you know, that's good to learn how to navigate that as well.
Right.
She can be a little more of a louder fighter. I'm a little bit more persistent on making sure the conversation is truly resolved.
The thing that we've realized with the friends that we know that don't make it is they don't know how to come back.
But to come back, you actually have to go through. You have to finish it. You have to just make sure you're actually communicating everything you need to communicate, and that's the only way. You can't just let it, you just can't push it down.
Right.
And also, you hear from other couples that didn't make it. They had fights, and they would spend days not speaking to each other, and then soon that kind of became the norm.
That. Cannot imagine that.
I can't either.
We've had fights till the sun came up, till we resolved them.
It wasn't good for the guy I was interviewing that morning.
And was that when you first got married, or you still can do that?
The timeline is definitely shorter.
Yeah. But we always end our fights by having sex.
Yeah. Generally, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you...
Well, that's perfect.
You have to really end it.
Yeah. Well, that's what Mehmet Oz said about there's only one way out of a bad fight, and that's makeup sex.
Yeah. It's essential.
It does,
essential.
It does make it go away. You kind of think... Oh, what was that about? I mean, I kind of like what's happening here.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think so, too.
And the premise of each fight is, we also both know we're not going anywhere.
And that's a big one. Too many people go into marriage and they think, I'll try it.
But the vow is kind of has an escape clause.
Yeah. It won't work. Yeah. You have to believe... And know that this is,
I guess for some people, obviously, people sometimes get divorced for very, very good reasons. We start from the premise of it's not going to happen.
But one of the, when you talk about trust, when Phil was divorced when I met him, we were pretty hot and heavy and flying to each other in the middle of the night and all this crazy stuff. And at one point I said to him, you know, in the sexual glow, oh my God, what would have happened if we'd met when you were married? And he said, well, with all due respect, nothing would have taken me from my wife and kids. And I thought, I can love this man.
Yeah.
I can love this man who's not bullshitting me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he
and it means he won't do it to you.
He won't.
We'll have more after a quick break.
Hello, hello, Malcolm Gladwell here from Revisionist History. If you've watched a professional tennis match recently, you'll know that fans have this amazing new tool at their disposal. It was created by the consulting company Infosys and the Association of Tennis Professionals. It's an immersive 3D viewing experience for tennis fans, which allows them to watch matches from new angles, get real-time statistics, and better understand the inner workings of the game and its athletes. Basically, a completely new data-driven way to appreciate a tennis match. It's been a huge hit, and I'm proud to say that the Infosys tennis platform earned first place in the customer experience category at the Unconventional Awards from T-Mobile for Business, an event held at Mobile World Congress in Las Vegas that celebrates customers who've boldly innovated for the sake of meaningful change. And I think it's important to point out that innovation like this doesn't just require a great idea and exploit some great underlying technology. It takes courage. Because tennis is a game with a long history and some pretty powerful traditions. I mean, you can only wear white at Wimbledon. Still, it's the 21st century. And here was an idea that said we can dramatically change the way a fan watches a match. We can feed them data. Can allow them to see things they could never see before with the naked eye, or even conventional camera angles. If you want to turn a world upside down, you have to have a pretty strong backbone. That's a lot of what the T-Mobile for Business Unconventional Awards are all about. Finding people and companies who show that kind of boldness. I encourage you to enter. It's a fantastic event and a great way to be recognized for your brave, outside-the-box thinking in front of the industry's most influential leaders, and an even better way to say, I told you so. You can enter by July 31st at T-Mobile.com/unconventional awards. That's T-Mobile.com/unconventional awards. See you there.
As listeners to this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds has the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you. Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet. But you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Musora is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. This is your chance to reignite some old musical passions or pick up an instrument for the first time. Connect with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians. You'll get 7 days totally free to try it out. And then it's just $30 a month, less than a single private lesson. I mean, why do we do Broken Record? Not just because we love hearing from great musicians. We do it because we think that there is something beautiful about the appreciation of music. Don't you think we need more of that in our lives these days? That's the mission of Musora, to inspire, educate, and connect musicians. Enjoy unlimited personal support, weekly live streams, student lesson plans. It's like having a personal music teacher, only much, much better. Just go to musora.com, M-U-S-O-R-A.com, to start a new musical journey today.
We're back to our conversation with George Stephanopoulos and Ali Wentworth. By this point, we'd covered most of the basics, so Marlo steered the conversation to Ali's favorite subject.
All right, well, the fun thing about interviewing you two is that you talk so much about sex, and nobody does that.
No, wait, she talks so much about sex.
It's so great.
Thank you.
No, it is great because, I mean, we're
well, it's not naughty.
No. It's, especially when you're married.
Well, yeah, right. Well, it's right. Never naughty.
It's rare.
Yeah, exactly. So you've written advice books, and so what is your advice about sex?
My advice to married couples about sex?
Yeah.
Have it.
Yes.
Have it, and have it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Because I have found in talking to the great many women who I have very honest, open relationships with, if you're married and you're not having sex, something's wrong. I have my girlfriends. Like, if George is unavailable to me, for whatever reason, he's working or he just doesn't want to chew on the fact that so-and-so are getting divorced and I need a four-hour conversation, I go to my girlfriends. But the one thing I have with my husband is a physical relationship. And I know way too many people who you started hearing, yeah, well, we never have sex, red flag, and then a few years go by and then they get divorced or somebody has an affair.
Right.
And I say to my girlfriends, you know, if you have the stomach flu, I get it. But otherwise, you got to push it. We're all tired. We all have kids and lives and careers, and you have to push yourself.
Allie always makes fun of me because I am skeptical whenever she talks about all these stories she hears about married couples not having sex. I mean, obviously people go through periods, but I don't understand the point.
Right. There are a lot of sexless marriages. More than you think, George.
Maybe.
You know. And then do they break up?
Yes. They break up. They have affairs.
Right. Yeah.
Mostly affairs because, you know, you sort of need a net to actually leave. But it's amazing. And it's amazing how many couples tolerate it and for how long they tolerate it for.
But guys don't talk about it, do they?
Not really.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, like, women will say, I'm not having, or I'm having, or it's really great, or whatever.
I mean, we not only say, are you having it, are you not having it, or what kind of problems are you having? And right now, everybody's in menopause, so everybody's coconut oil, coconut oil, coconut oil. I mean, girlfriends help each other, you know?
Right.
Or
no, but I mean, this is the stuff that people want to know about. I mean, one of the things marriage is about, obviously, is sex. One of the things marriage is about is trust.
No, but see, I think all of it, It all stems from this one place, which is people say to me all the time, what is the secret to your marriage? You and George are so different. I don't get it. People in the back row of our wedding were making bets on how long it was going to last. And I don't know why, but, you know, 18 years later, he walks in the door from work and I'm just as attracted to him as I was the first week we were dating. I go, look at that sexy man.
That's so sweet.
Not all the time. Sometimes I'm mad at you and I'm not going to let you know that. But
no, but when Phil goes away or I go away and we're going to get back together, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm fixing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that I hope you feel the same way about me.
I definitely do, yes.
Have a talk out back. But I mean, I think that it starts with that and then the sex is around that. And I think the trust is a huge thing, of course.
Because the fact that it hasn't been a question is, like I said, it's just lucky.
No. In fact, when people have affairs or marriages break down or break up, I'll say to George, you would never have an affair. And we both start laughing. Like if somebody came to me and said, your husband's cheating on you, I would laugh. That would be my first reaction. Absolutely not. No way.
It's not his.
It's just not in his nature.
But how do you know that? That's the thing. I feel the same way about Phil. In fact, Phil's producers once said that when a woman comes on to Phil, doesn't really realize it. That's just who he is. He's not there.
George realizes it. He just shuts it down. There's nothing back. I'm an actress, so if someone flirts back to me, I go, oh, great.
Well, what do you do when somebody comes on to you? I mean, do you say something or do, how do you?
Well, nobody's that explicit.
You have
anymore,
a wedding ring, right?
Because
some men
ring.
Don't wear wedding bands, which I think is really like.
That's just.
Yeah, like, look, I am available, you know.
But I mean, I guess I'm just so.
Sometimes it makes them even more wanted when they have a band on. Yeah, women think it's a challenge.
I don't think there's any part of me that invites it.
Marlo bought a wedding band for me. It's 6 feet wide. And.
It's actually a choke collar.
That is a big wedding band.
So there'd be no mistake.
No mistake at all.
And if a woman gets too close to me, there's a beep, beep, yeah. beep.
Well, when he was on the air, I used to love that he'd have the microphone in his hand. This huge gold thing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever go to, you never went to marriage counseling,
no.
right?
Yeah.
I have nothing against it, but we
We've
been pretty good at figuring it out on our own.
Actually, yeah. It's funny. We've probably ended three fights like that, though.
What?
Put that card on the table. Let's go to counseling. And that forces us to do it ourselves.
I do it. I say it.
But do you ever use the I'm leaving card?
No.
No. People do that.
I know that's a scary card.
Yeah.
And if you have high abandonment like me, that has significant repercussions. If you say, well, we're going to get divorced, then I'll go have an affair because I think we're getting divorced and I have to get my next husband because I have abandonment. And then you say, I'm just kidding. And I go, well, then I already had an affair. Now I am leaving you. It's messy.
See if there's anything. Oh, stress. I mean, with us, we used to, if one of us panicked, the other one would panic also. We had to learn to go crazy at the same time.
Oh, no. I think if one of us is panicking, the other one doesn't.
Yeah, pretty much.
If he's panicking, let's say over a job thing, I know just to quiet it down at home.
Well, Phil does something that just kills me. If he has a hurt look on his face, I'm just absolutely Mother Teresa. I just will do anything. I'll go out and pick up lepers. I'll do anything I can to get that look not to be there.
Yeah, and I do that with the kids, too. Yep. If I see he's going through a hard time, I will say to them, put all your bitchiness in a box and go be nice to your dad.
Just be nice to daddy.
Make daddy a card, be nice to daddy. Yeah.
Exactly. What do you think is the biggest challenge you've had to face?
We've been so lucky.
There are many doors you have to go through, and the first one is, How do we coexist together? But you never know when you marry somebody what kind of parent they're going to be, you know? So then you go through that door. And then becomes just the life stuff. And we have a teenage daughter who's about to have big surgery. And so we're going to sort of be a solid couple together to help her get through this period. So I know our marriage well enough to know exactly what it's going to look like. His strengths are To be the problem solver, to check in with the surgeon, and you know, he'll be that guy, and I'll be, does she have a blanket, and I'll do the nurturing stuff, and then he'll know when I need a little comfort, and I'll know when he's slightly freaked out by seeing his daughter in this condition. And we know how to do all that now. We know the kind of the dance, and we know the needs. And so, you know, God forbid bigger mountains are ahead of us, I know what I can rely on him for. I know, and he knows what he can for me.
That's great.
I once took my son to baseball practice, and then I went to pick him up. He got in the car in the front seat, closed the door, and he said, I got cut. I'm telling you, I mean, it was like an arrow in my heart. Mm-hmm. And I started talking, oh, yeah, I got cut when I was, you know, I don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what the hell I said. Now, obviously, getting cut from a baseball team is not the worst thing that can happen.
It is.
We had something like that just before you guys came here. Our daughter, you know, this typical middle school, high school stuff about who's having a party, who's got invited, who didn't get invited. And the truth is, when it's your daughter, it's like, it is heartbreaking. And then our conversation was,
What do we do?
What do we say? You know, how do you keep your distance from it? You have to let her learn from it. And you have to sort of just sit there while
she cries.
While she cries.
And all I want to do is go find that girl that's having a party, inviting all her friends except her, and kill her.
And I have to remind her she can't do that.
All right, I texted him. I said, do I call the mother? And he said, no. And I think he's right. And, you know, but that's
right
how we do it.
What would you pass on to, you know, to people about to be married?
There's a lot of hard stuff that happens in life. We have to celebrate the good stuff, you know? Your contract gets renewed. Let's celebrate it. We don't have to be obnoxious about it. It could just be the four of us. But, like, let me make a cake and the kids will stick some M&Ms on it and say, good for you.
Right.
And, I mean, more than birthdays and stuff. I mean, you know, special things. And, you know, in our anniversary, I don't like it to be taken lightly. I don't want a diamond necklace or a, you know, some expensive painting. I want the two of us just to, we write, you know, letters to each other, but I want us to say, like, hey, it's year 18. Look at us. I still love you. You know, those moments are not to be sort of tossed aside.
I think the biggest thing, the other thing I would think of is don't be afraid. I mean, let it disrupt your life. By definition, that's what you're doing, and that's going to happen all the time. Be open to the changes that being married are going to bring you every single day, because you're right. I mean, I'm not sure this is all guys, but I tend to be more a creature of habit, and you get set in your ways, and you have to let kind of a lot of things just happen every day. Let the chaos in.
If you're about to get married, if you have any pangs of hesitation, listen to them. I have two friends who were about to get married and had that feeling of dread. One of them cried hysterically all the way to the church, and I was in the car with her.
Oh, God.
And it wasn't crying like I'm getting married. It was as if she was going to be hung in the village square, just hysterically crying. And I kept saying to her, you know, we can turn the car around.
I agree with you. If there's anything holding you back, listen to it. And then the flip side of that is, remember how you feel this day. Every single day, try to, at some point, remember that. Because there are going to be a lot of times when...
You remember how you feel on the wedding day?
Yeah.
When you feel good.
Remember how you feel this day, why you're doing it today, who you're doing it with, what you love about them.
Did your friend's marriage survive?
No, and in fact, three kids later, she says, I never should have married him.
Oh, God.
I said, well, I could have told you that in the car right over there.
Do you think that you've changed a great deal since you're getting married?
I think I've a much richer, fuller person for marrying him.
Oh, I think you definitely changed. I mean, it's hard to know exactly how, because it just happens every single day.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely better
for
marrying you.
Yeah.
I got an anchor. He doesn't question himself a lot. He's as solid, has more integrity than anybody I've ever met. And for me, that's incredibly grounding.
She brings all of life into the house. Everything. A whole world of beautiful stuff and friends and family. And it's like it's opening up an entire vista
for you.
For me.
That's the very sexy George Stephanopoulos and Ali Wentworth.
They are such an entertaining couple. They should charge people just to talk with them.
Well, I'm glad we got in for free. Until next time, I'm Phil Donahue.
And I'm Marlo Thomas.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. You guys are great.
Double Date is a production of Pushkin Industries.
The show was created by us and produced by Sarah Lilly. Michael Bahari is associate producer. Musical adaptations of It Had to Be You by Stellwagen Symphonette.
Marlo and I are executive producers, along with Mia Lobel and Lital Molad from Pushkin.
Special thanks to Jacob Weisberg, Malcolm Gladwell, Heather Fain, John Schnars, Carly Migliori, Eric Sandler, Emily Rostek, Jason Gambrell, Paul Williams, and Bruce Kluger.
If you like our show, please remember to share, rate, and review. Thanks for listening.
The tradition of breaking tradition continues with the return of the Unconventional Awards from T-Mobile for Business at Mobile World Congress. This is an event that celebrates innovators whose bold actions took their industries to new places. If that sounds like you and you're a T-Mobile for Business customer, enter today. If you win, you'll be publicly honored amongst some of the most influential leaders in industry, and me, I'll be there too. Enter now at tmobile.com/unconventionalawards. See you there.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.